Welcome back to The Deep Dive, the show where we give you the shortcut to being the most informed person in the room. I'm Billy Diaz.
And I'm Danny DeRosa, here to help unpack the dense, mission-critical material you sent us.
Today, we are taking on a deep dive that is really essential for understanding the future of federal IT security and governance.
Mm-hmm.
The title is direct, but it's loaded with implications. Why U.S. federal agencies should retain, expand, and/or adopt Archer to meet initiatives, mandates, and mission requirements to secure and accelerate speed to mission.
It's a mouthful.
It is, yeah. It's an exhaustive technical task, but the insights we've pulled are, I think, really actionable and strategically crucial.
That's exactly right. Our mission today is to move past the generalities of GRC, you know, governance, risk, and compliance, and really give you a granular, actionable report on exactly why an enterprise platform like Archer is no longer a luxury.
Yeah.
It's a necessity for these major federal agencies. I mean, this is about solving a specific accelerating crisis.
Yeah.
One that's fueled by relentless new mandates, constant threat evolution, and just persistent resource shortages in the public sector.
And when you look at the scale of that crisis, you realize why solving this problem is so urgent.
Oh, yeah.
We know that the total GRC software market is projected to reach, what is it? An eye-watering $134.86 billion by 2030.
Huge number.
Which tells us that organizations globally recognize this need. But for federal agencies, the complexity is just compounded. I mean, you're constantly bombarded with new requirements.
Constantly.
Think of the pace of zero trust mandates or the DHS CDM program while you're trying to migrate from these archaic, siloed compliance checklists to something that's actually unified, proactive, and resilient.
The core problem, like you said, is fragmentation.
Yeah.
We are long, long past the era where agencies can afford to treat compliance as this separate, you know, annual checkbox activity handled by one small team.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't. High-level policy, the stuff driven by the OMB and the CISO Council, it demands connected, resilient enterprise risk management. If your internal compliance data, your risk assessments, your governance policies, and your vendor vetting information are all sitting in separate spreadsheets or these disparate legacy systems,
which they often are,
you introduce these crippling inefficiencies, massive security blind spots, and ultimately you're looking at mission failure.
So let's jump straight into the heart of the matter, the federal imperative, and why the sheer complexity of government operations makes that traditional fragmented risk management approach completely obsolete.
When we talk about federal risk management, we're defining an environment that is constantly being reshaped, both legally and practically. We're talking about legislation like FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act.
Right, the big one.
The big one. And it imposes these strict reporting and authorization requirements. And it's backed up by continual adjustment driven by OMB memos and the perpetually evolving InfoSec landscape, all guided by NIST frameworks.
And what we learn from the source material is that the cost of the existing fragmented paradigm is already just astronomical.
It is. Yeah.
The expense associated with assessment and authorization, or ANA, people used to call it, CNA, certification and accreditation required by FISMA, already cost the government billions annually.
That is just an astonishing number. Think about the opportunity cost that's wrapped up in those billions.
Mm-hmm.
It confirms that the current system is financially broken because it prioritizes exhaustive documentation over actionable risk mitigation. It's a snapshot approach to security. Agencies are stuck in these perpetual compliance cycles, consuming resources that really should be driving strategic mission outcomes.
Exactly. The shift we're seeing is profound. Agencies must move beyond simply completing compliance checklists. They have to demand real-time governance and risk insights that can directly influence strategic spending and policy decisions.
Right.
This elevation of GRC from a simple cost center, you know, the department that just fills out forms, to a strategic asset is absolutely crucial for getting that executive buy-in and the funding you need for modernization.
And to make this concept concrete, we can look at two really excellent case studies in the source material.
Mm-hmm.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, and the General Services Administration, GSA.
Okay.
These agencies represent really complex missions and high-stakes data.
Let's start with CMS. The CMS GRC framework defines GRC not just as, you know, adherence, but as a holistic structure of programs, processes, tools, and technologies designed to identify and mitigate security and privacy risks to their FISMA systems.
And the emphasis here isn't just on having controls in place. It's the explicit declaration of a key philosophical shift. CMS is moving from being solely focused on compliance toward a proactive focus on continuous evaluation, identification, and management of risk.
That's the goal.
That is the ultimate goal of modernization laid out by the CSO Council. Governance sets the strategic tone, right? Risk management identifies and prioritizes threats, and compliance ensures you're adhering to federal policies. They are functionally interdependent. You can't have one without the others.
And they achieve this through proactive, ongoing monitoring activities, things like ongoing authorization or OA and the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, CDM. Mm-hmm. But to manage the sheer volume of data involved in a huge agency like CMS, which is dealing with incredibly sensitive PII and patient health information, PHI, you need a centralized GRC platform. You just can't achieve continuous monitoring across HIPAA, FSMA, and internal policy using fragmented tools. It's impossible.
Right. Now let's pivot to GSA, which provides a fantastic structured view of how risk flows into federal enterprise. Mm-hmm. They use this three-tiered approach that is really a model of coordination designed to ensure enterprise-wide consistency.
So at level one, we find the enterprise layer, which focuses on strategic risk. This level is managed by executive bodies like the Enterprise Management Board, or EMB, and the Enterprise Risk and Strategic Initiatives, or ERSI, board. What really stood out to me here was that the deputy administrator serves as the senior accountable official for risk management, the SAORM.
That fact is incredibly significant. Placing the SAORM role at the deputy administrator level, that underscores the executive responsibility for cybersecurity risk.
It's not an IT problem anymore.
It is no longer an IT problem. It is a fundamental business risk. The leadership at level one, they need a GRC platform that aggregates risk from every single system and program, not just IT, to present a consolidated strategic view of risk exposure to the entire mission portfolio.
So they don't care about a single patch on a single server.
No, they care about the cumulative effect of unpatched systems on their strategic goals.
Got it. Okay, then we go down to level two, which covers program activities. This is more of the management layer where they're enforcing accountability and performance.
Yeah, this is where you find processes like the current fiscal year management implementation plan and the quarterly AO sync meetings, which are designed to monitor risk response performance across various systems and hold those program managers accountable.
And finally, level three is operation systems. This is where you address the operational risk, where the day-to-day activities of assessment and authorization and continuous monitoring live.
Exactly. This is where vulnerabilities are identified, risks are assessed, and the initial responses are determined and tracked via plans of action and milestones, or POANMs.
The source material is crystal clear on this. This integrated GRC approach is critical for the GSA because it integrates all those traditional management activities, it breaks down the silos between business units, and it ensures that shared strategic goals are met while protecting the agency's reputation.
And they view significant risks as an interrelated portfolio, which is a really important phrase from the NIST 8286 guidance they've adopted. They don't see them as isolated incidents.
But here's the transition point, right? Integrating all that internal complexity, it requires specialized technology. And this brings us to a major emerging trend, the rising need for GRC platforms that offer more than just, you know, data housing.
Exactly.
That more than just data housing part is critical. What does that content actually look like in practice?
So it means the platform has to go beyond simply identifying a risk or, you know, housing a control definition. It needs context.
Context.
It needs expert-vetted guidelines, centralized roadmaps to regulatory compliance for dozens of standards, and the ability to automatically map, say, a NIST 853 control to an overall enterprise strategic objective or a European GDPR requirement.
Ah, okay.
This is how you bridge that gap between the technical compliance on the ground and the strategic decision-making in the boardroom. If the platform doesn't provide this contextual content, the agencies still have to hire expensive consultants to manually map everything.
And this is where we transition into the competitive analysis, looking at how a platform like Archer positions itself as the necessary technology cornerstone to handle this highly complex federal reality.
Right. When you analyze the competitive landscape, Archer really stands out as the cornerstone of the GRC space, precisely because it is tailored for that broader cross-enterprise risk management that aligns perfectly with what we just talked about, GSA's level one and level two needs.
Okay, but let's be very clear about the distinction, because a lot of federal agencies use strong platforms like ServiceNow.
They do.
ServiceNow excels, I mean, hugely in IT service management, ITSM, and provides strong, integrated IT-centric GRC solutions. But that IT-centric focus seems to be the crucial differentiator when we compare it to Archer's broader macro-level capability.
That's the core insight for any federal decision-maker. ServiceNow integrates GRC seamlessly into daily IT operations, incident management, change management, hardware inventory, which makes it ideal for IT-centric risks derived from those processes.
So day-to-day IT stuff.
Exactly. However, Archer's strength is managing risk across the entire enterprise.
Mm.
Operational risks, financial risks, strategic risks, and regulatory compliance risks that have very little to do with whether a server is patched or not.
Okay, so give us a concrete example. What kind of risk is Archer built for that service now might struggle to handle as comprehensively?
Okay, imagine the GSA, which handles huge amounts of government procurement. If they fail a strategic compliance objective, let's say adhering to complex multinational trade sanctions when they're vetting a new supplier, that is a huge strategic, legal, and financial risk.
But it's not an IT ticket.
It's not a ticket generated by a malfunctioning piece of software. Archer can host, manage, and audit that complex third-party risk management process, mapping the sanction compliance requirement directly to the agency's Level 1 strategic risk register. Archer specializes in catering to those large organizations that require complex risk management capabilities across all these diverse departments and geographies, creating that cohesive macro risk profile that the SAEORM needs to see.
So if your organization's primary overarching need is to streamline IT ticketing and an IT incident response, ServiceNow is a phenomenal fit.
A great fit.
But if you have complex, multifaceted risk management needs that span finance, supply chain, legal affairs, and operational resilience, which, I mean, every cabinet-level agency does,
yeah.
Archer is specifically designed for that holistic complexity.
Exactly. And this leads directly to Archer's second major advantage, its depth of customization and framework alignment. Federal agencies have highly specific, often intricate risk landscapes. Consider a niche agency like, say, the National Science Foundation. They might need to track risk associated with global research grants and international collaboration. They need to create unique risk categories and assessment workflows. Archer offers these deep customization options, customizing risk taxonomies, developing bespoke workflows, defining granular user permissions, which is often a limiting factor for competitors that are focused on streamlined, standardized, ITIL-based processes.
And the breadth of compliance management that results from this customization is, from what I've read, pretty unmatched, which is vital for federal entities that are juggling global and domestic mandates.
It is. Archer provides pre-configured templates for a vast range of standards and regulatory frameworks. We're talking international requirements like GDPR, financial mandates like SOX, health standards like HIPAA, general international standards like ISO, and critically for federal agencies, NIST, CSF, and FedRAMP.
That comprehensive, easily scalable coverage is non-negotiable for an agency like CMS.
Absolutely not. They have to handle sensitive PII and PHI, requiring mandatory alignment across HIPAA, NIST, and potentially even state or international standards if they're interacting with global partners or state insurance exchanges. Archer lets them audit once and report compliance across 20 different frameworks simultaneously.
Which dramatically reduces that billion-dollar ANA burden we were talking about.
Dramatic.
A third key differentiator that speaks directly to the federal FISMA-driven environment is superior audit management capabilities. Given the intense scrutiny GSA and others face from the GAO and the Inspector General, the OIG, audit readiness is paramount.
Audit management isn't just an add-on for Archer. It's a foundational core feature. It provides these robust tools for planning, executing, and reporting on all types of audits, internal, external, compliance audits, you name it.
So it manages the whole life cycle.
The whole thing. Audit schedules, tracking findings, ensuring the appropriate follow-up actions are taken. Since the GSA relies heavily on internal and third-party audits to feed its Level 2 risk determination processes, having a platform where audit management is foundational, that provides an immense operational advantage and dramatically improves accountability.
And finally, we have to mention the procurement advantage, because accelerating speed to mission also means accelerating speed to acquisition, which can be a huge hurdle in government.
A massive hurdle. Archer is deeply embedded within the federal ecosystem. We have to highlight Carahsoft, who acts as the master government aggregator, which really simplifies the acquisition process.
Okay.
This allows federal, state, and local governments to utilize existing contracts like GSA, SEWP, and ITES SW2, which eliminates significant procurement hurdles and accelerates deployment timelines, often from months down to weeks.
But wait a minute. Is that really a technical advantage, or is it just a contracting convenience? I mean, does the ease of acquisition reflect Archer's superiority as a product, or just its longevity and existing relationship within the government ecosystem?
That's a great question, and it's both. The contract mechanism simplifies the process, yes, but the reason Archer has maintained those contracts and those relationships is precisely because it has demonstrated the functional depth and flexibility required to meet the evolving complexity of federal mandates complexity that often exceeds what many off-the-shelf generalized IT solutions can handle.
So it's a technical advantage facilitated by a contracting advantage.
That's a perfect way to put it.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, now that we've established Archer's strategic position in the GRC marketplace, built for macro-level, complex, customizable enterprise risk, let's look at the brass tacks. How do Archer's capabilities directly solve the key mandates and technological shifts currently defining federal cybersecurity?
Right. This is where we connect the technology directly to the mission requirements that are spelled out by NIST, by OMB, and by federal CIO policy. We're moving from the why to the how.
And the first and most enduring mandate is the Authorization to Operate, or ATO, and the Broader Assessment and Authorization, ANA. This is the cornerstone of FISMA compliance.
The RSA Archer Assessment and Authorization solution is purpose-built for this, which has historically been a manual and incredibly burdensome process. It directly supports federal requirements by producing all the necessary ANA artifacts, the security system plan, the SSP, the boundary diagrams, the controls inheritance documentation, the policy documents, all the detailed test results.
Everything you need for an authorization decision.
Everything. It automates the ingestion of data to identify, manage, and mitigate issues, including common or inherited controls, and allows stakeholders, like the authorizing officials, the AOs, to make fast, informed authorization decisions based on verifiable data, not just stacks of binders.
And crucially, the system verifies that the information systems are abiding by their ATO agreements and operating within acceptable risk levels. It forces continuous accountability.
Exactly. This isn't just about the initial authorization, which, like we said, is just a snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. The solution seamlessly integrates with RSA, Archer Continuous Monitoring, to provide a true ongoing authorization, or OA, capability. Mm-hmm. And this is the mechanism that moves the organization from that periodic snapshot compliance mindset to a continuously secure, verifiable environment.
That brings us directly to mandate number two, continuous monitoring, or CM, which is now completely non-negotiable. CM is at the heart of the GSA's operational risk layer, their level three, and DHS runs the massive CDM program.
Yeah, CM is the engine for the transition from compliance-driven to data-driven risk management. GSA's policy mandates the use of ongoing insight into security control effectiveness to support better risk response decisions. A platform has to be able to ingest data automatically from vulnerability scanners, configuration management tools, and other automated security tools, analyze it, and provide real-time updates through dashboards and notifications.
Right.
Those four core components of any CM system, the monitoring application, the analytics tool, the dashboard, and the notification system, they all have to be integrated.
So what's the practical difference this makes? If an ISO used to run a scan once a quarter and report the results, how does Archer's CM functionality change their day-to-day work?
You know, it changes everything. I mean, instead of manually collating scan reports and trying to calculate a risk score every 90 days, the ISO now has a dashboard that might be updating hourly. When a critical vulnerability is detected by the scanner, that data immediately feeds into Archer. Archer automatically maps that vulnerability to the affected system. It assigns it a risk score based on the system's criticality, is it an HVA or not, and often generates the draft plan of action and milestones, the POANM record, instantly.
So the ISO's job shifts from paperwork to high-value analysis and decision-making?
Exactly.
Speaking of POANMs, that brings us to mandate number three, plan of action and milestones management. This is arguably the most visible, high-pressure daily responsibility for CSOs and ISOs.
And the pressure is immense.
Yeah.
It's immense because GSA policy sets these extremely rigid remediation deadlines for vulnerabilities managed via POANMs.
Yeah.
These are not soft deadlines.
No.
They reflect the seriousness of the threat landscape, especially in the context of CISA's known exploitable vulnerabilities list, the KAV list.
Unforgiving is the right word. We're talking 14 days for CISA KEVs, the ones active attackers are using right now. Then 15 days for critical vulnerabilities on internet accessible systems, 30 days for critical and high vulnerabilities generally, 90 for moderate, and 180 for low. I mean, this complex matrix of deadlines is a nightmare to track manually.
It is. The RSA Archer PONM Management Solution facilitates the required tracking, monitoring, and detailed reporting you need for these time-sensitive remediation efforts. It acts like a digital whip, ensuring high-priority threats are fixed before the clock runs out.
So it's not just a database of issues.
No, it doesn't just store the PONM. It automates the workflow. It assigns the task to the right team, it escalates automatically when deadlines approach, and it provides leadership with dashboards that show systemic progress or failure in real time. This level of transparency and automation directly supports those quarterly AO sync meetings where performance is formally gauged.
And that ability to track and report up to executive leadership is essential for protecting the CISO. If a critical vulnerability is exploited, the first question from Congress or the OIG will be, was there a PONM, and was it tracked properly?
Precisely. Archer provides that robust, auditable trail, ensuring that accountability is clear and the entire organization is working from the same clock and the same data.
Okay, let's move to the big one. Mandate 4, Accelerating Zero Trust Architecture, or ZTA, migration. This is the massive technological and philosophical shift that the federal government is currently undertaking, guided by NIST SP 800-207. This has to be the most demanding requirement on the horizon.
It is the future, and it's the mandate that most clearly shows why an enterprise GRC platform is mandatory, not optional. ZTA is the response to the inadequacy of perimeter defense, especially as agencies move to the cloud, use remote users, and integrate thousands of contractor devices.
Right. The old castle and moat model is dead.
It's dead. ZTA assumes there is no implicit trust and requires continuous evaluation of the user, the asset, and the resource being requested before granting access based on the principle of least privilege.
So how does Archer, which is a GRC platform primarily focused on compliance documents and risk scores, how does it become foundational infrastructure for ZTA?
Because ZTA is primarily a governance and risk project, not just a network project. It cannot function without three things that Archer provides. Inventory, assessment, and policy context.
Okay, let's break those down, starting with inventory.
ZTA migration requires agencies to perform a brutal, detailed initial inventory of assets, subjects, business processes, data flows, and dependencies. You cannot enforce a granular trust decision if you don't know exactly what the asset is, its mission criticality, who the user is, and what the business function requires.
So you can't protect what you can't see.
Exactly. Archer is designed to house and categorize this comprehensive asset inventory, providing that necessary foundation.
And once you have the inventory, you move to assessment.
Yes. The second critical step is risk assessment. You have to assess the risk associated with these assets and processes. That continuous risk assessment, which takes inputs from the continuous monitoring tools we just talked about, feeds directly into the formulation of the dynamic, granular policies. NIST refers to this as criteria-based or score-based trust algorithms, which are necessary for ZPA deployment.
And this leads us to the key technical connection. Looking at the NIST ZTA reference architecture, ZTA relies on two key decision components: the policy engine, or PE, which determines access,
right.
And the policy administrator, or PA, which configures the communication path.
And if the policy engine and the policy administrator are the key decision components of the entire enterprise, which is exactly what NIST SP 800-207 states, then the system providing the continuous, reliable, enterprise-wide risk status and business context is the lifeblood of ZTA.
So the GRC platform becomes the brain.
Precisely. Archer is designed to aggregate vulnerability data, compliance status, asset criticality, HVA status, third-party risk data, distilling all that complex information into a simple real-time trust score or access criteria. This criteria is then fed to the policy engine.
Okay.
This dictates dynamically whether John Doe, using a laptop that was just patched 24 hours ago, can access the high-value asset data flow right now. Without a robust, enterprise-grade GRC platform with deep continuous monitoring capabilities, ZTA simply cannot move beyond a conceptual whiteboard drawing.
It's just an idea at that point.
It lacks the single indispensable source of truth that's required to dictate dynamic access and trust across all resources.
That level of detail truly solidifies the platform's mission-critical status. It's not just a nice-to-have, it's fundamental infrastructure for the future of federal cybersecurity.
It is. It helps perform the initial risk assessment, it identifies the HVAs to prioritize, and it ensures that the continuous monitoring data from CDM tools and vulnerability scans feeds directly into the policy decisions that govern access in real time.
Now that we've thoroughly mapped Archer's capabilities to these critical federal mandates, let's switch our perspective, as we promised. We need to provide a highly detailed, actionable report on the highest priority targets, use cases, and personas for, say, an Archer Federal account manager looking to maximize impact and adoption within the government. This is where we get granular about who needs the solution most and why.
And this analysis requires synthesizing the organizational structures we saw at the GSA and the high-level needs that are articulated by the Federal CFO Council, connecting the technology directly to the organizational pain points.
Okay, so let's start with the highest priority agencies and groups based on the inherent risk and complexity they manage.
First and foremost, any agencies managing high-value assets, or HVAs. HVAs are systems critical to the agency mission supporting primary mission essential functions, or mission essential functions.
Key MEFs, or MEFs.
Right. GSA's policy explicitly states they give the greatest attention to high-risk events impacting HVAs. Why is Archer necessary here? Because protecting an HVA requires coordinating risk management across multiple security domains, physical security, IT controls, compliance, supply chain.
The whole gamut.
The whole thing. Archer's ability to provide that comprehensive macro-level risk assessment across the entire enterprise makes it the only tool capable of facilitating the holistic protection that's necessary for these vital assets.
Second, we have to target agencies with complex regulatory and privacy obligations. CMS is the premier example here, handling sensitive PII and PHI.
Right.
These agencies have massive compliance scaling problems. They need a solution that automates compliance and scales rapidly across multiple frameworks simultaneously. HIPAA, NIST, CSF, and possibly others like state regulations or international standards.
And Archer's extensive template support automates that cross-mapping and auditing, making it uniquely suited to handle this complex, multi-scope compliance burden with high efficiency. Third, you target the organization supporting enterprise initiatives. So think of the GSA Office of the Chief Information Security Officer, the OCISO, or the teams responsible for DHS CDM deployments. These groups are focused on shared services, implementing Zero Trust agency-wide, and managing the high-level agency cybersecurity risk register.
So they need the big picture.
They need a robust, flexible platform like Archer for centralized risk monitoring and consistent data aggregation, ensuring all departments use the same risk language and the same reporting metrics for executive-level consumption.
Okay, let's move to the highest priority use cases for expansion within existing federal Archer deployments. These are the low-hanging fruit where agencies should immediately expand their investment to maximize ROI.
Number one is the expansion into cross-enterprise risk management, specifically targeting levels 1 and 2 in that GSA model we talked about.
So the strategic layer.
The strategic layer, which is often neglected by IT-centric tools. Archer excels here because it allows executives, the SAORM, the EMB, the ERISI board, to view the combined impact of risks as an interrelated portfolio across operational, strategic, and financial categories. For example, they can see how a failure in a specific supply chain component, an operational risk, directly impacts the ability to meet a congressional deadline, which is a strategic risk.
And that unified view avoids the siloed decision-making that plagues risk management today.
It does.
The second, and perhaps the most urgent expansion area today, is third-party risk management, TPRM, and supply chain risk management, CSCRM. The SolarWinds incident made CSCRM mandatory for survival.
It did. Agencies rely heavily on expanded vendor and partner ecosystems, which increases their exposure exponentially. GSA itself manages CSCRM assurance.
So Archer's inherent strength in managing complex risk assessment across multiple risk categories, combined with its ability to integrate vendor risk frameworks vetting vendors, not just for security controls, but for financial stability, geographic risk, legal compliance, that makes it the perfect platform for handling the massive exposure that supply chain risk introduces.
Right. It enables the agency to move from basic vendor questionnaires to continuous monitoring and real-time vendor risk scoring.
And third,
IT security program integration within the OSI structure. GSA's OCS has several specialized divisions: policy and compliance, security engineering, ISO support and identity credential, and access management. These groups often work on disparate tools.
They're in their own silos, even within the security org.
Exactly. Archer provides a unified platform to manage the diverse procedural guides and monitoring requirements across all these groups: ANA, continuous monitoring, POA&M tracking, and policy management. By consolidating these functions onto Archer, the OSCISO moves toward a truly unified, repeatable, and transparent security program, which is essential for audit readiness and maximizing scarce resources.
Finally, let's identify the absolute highest priority personas and titles. These are the decision makers who must adopt, fund and use Archer for its maximum enterprise benefit. These are the people the account manager needs to be talking to immediately.
You have to start at the very top, where the budget decisions are made, the C-suite and executive leadership. This includes the senior accountable official for risk management, the SAORM, and members of the Enterprise Management Board, the EMB. Their priority is financial accountability and strategic alignment.
They speak in dollars and cents.
They do. They need quantified return on investment and financial metrics. Things like average annual loss, or AAL, or the required risk reserve, to align GRC spending with high-level business objectives and justify the massive investment required for IT modernization. They need Archer to translate technical risk into financial risk, demonstrating GRC's value as a strategic asset.
Next are the agency CSOs and the Federal CIOs Council. These leaders are focused on policy and performance metrics.
Mm-hmm.
They need a platform that directly supports the strategic focus areas of the CSO Council, specifically comprehensive risk assessment and framework, shared services implementation, and clear performance metrics.
Exactly. The CICO must manage the agency's cybersecurity risk register. And this register has to be based on comprehensive aggregated data from across the entire enterprise. Archer provides the necessary data synthesis and aggregation capabilities to actively manage that register, providing executive reports that communicate risk status to the SAORM clearly and concisely, ensuring the CSO can fulfill their role as the primary risk executive.
And last, but arguably the most frequent user, are the operational leaders. The authorizing officials, AOs, and the information system security managers and officers, ISSMs, and ISOs. While executives set the policy, these are the people who live in the systems and manage the day-to-day pressure.
They are responsible for system-level risk, maintaining ANA packages, and managing those time-sensitive POANMs we discussed. They need Archer's granular system capabilities on a daily basis to ensure continuous compliance and to monitor system performance metrics that are reviewed during those quarterly AO sync meetings.
Right.
For the ISO, Archer is the tool that transforms their job from being a compliance documentarian into a dynamic risk manager.
That is an incredibly comprehensive breakdown, mapping the complexity of federal mandates directly to Archer's functional strength. Let's bring it all home and synthesize the core arguments we've established today.
At the highest level, the argument is simple and it's compelling. The federal imperative driven by FISMA, the massive cost of ANA, and the need to protect high-value assets demands a comprehensive, unified GRC platform. The old methods of siloed compliance are no longer financially viable, legally compliant, or safe.
And Archer's advantage lies in its capacity as a dedicated, cross-enterprise, highly customizable GRC solution. It's demonstrably superior for managing the immense complexity and interconnected risk portfolio of a large federal agency like GSA or CMS, especially when you compare it to more IT-centric alternatives that fail to capture that strategic and operational risk outside of the IT department.
In its core features, assessment and authorization, continuous monitoring, and robust POANM management are essential not just for meeting the day-to-day compliance burdens, but for accelerating the migration to the future state of federal security, the Zero Trust architecture.
Which brings us to our final thought for you to consider as you digest all this material. We've established that migrating to Zero Trust is not just a technology refresh, it's a fundamental organizational redesign.
Right.
ZTA, by its very design, makes the policy engine and the policy administrator the key dynamic decision components of the entire enterprise, dictating access and trust transaction by transaction.
Therefore, the question for every federal agency, CISO, is not if they need a robust enterprise-grade GRC platform. That necessity is clear from the cost and complexity of the existing compliance burden. The real question is whether their current system is resilient enough, comprehensive enough, and flexible enough to become the single, indispensable source of truth that performs the continuous risk assessment, the dynamic data aggregation, and the real-time policy formulation required to dictate access and trust across all mission-critical resources today and tomorrow. This is the foundational decision that will determine their security posture for the next decade.